Okay, we are ready to start. Let's try chanting Jai Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Malabha Kiri Varada. Gopi Jana Malabha Kiri Varadadi Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Isur Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jaya Randho Madhuva Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Malabha Hiri Bharat Haruti Gopi Jana Malabha Girivarad Hati Yasunanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvatikacharya Othuteta Satishi Shimad Divine Grace Avaya Chabanara Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Nam Acharya Srila Huidas Thakur ki jai. Param Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopi Gopinath, Sayam Kund Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturam Kijai, Jagratasami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shimanagalasi Deva Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur. So, Nama Om Vishnupada. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pajani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarini. So, Omaganatu Madandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Meditam Gena Tesmai Shigurveta Maha. So, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're continuing with our study of the Nectar Devotion, and as we usually do before reading the Nectar Devotion, we chant this particular verse from Srinivas Acharya's prayer to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So Nana Shastra Vichara Nakinipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarandho Tribhuvane Manyo Shatanya Karo Mande Rupa Sanatano Ratuyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. That's wonderful. Okay, so now we'll continue with our study of the nectar of devotion, and we're on the first chapter still, and we're talking about how pure devotional service is rarely achieved. So let's go to the nectar of devotion. And we did the first paragraph already in this particular portion of the chapter, so we will go to the second paragraph. Here we go. So the rarity of devotional service is also confirmed in the Khandra Shastra, where Lord Shiva says to Sati, my dear Sati, even if one is a very fine philosopher analyzing the different processes of knowledge, he can achieve liberation from the material entanglement. By performance of the ritualistic sacrifices recommended in the Vedas, one could be elevated to the platform of pious activities and thereby enjoy the material comforts of life to the fullest extent. But all such endeavors can hardly offer anyone devotional service to the Lord, not even if one tries for it by such processes. Thousands and thousands of births. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj that merely by personal efforts or by instructions of higher authorities, one cannot attain the stage of devotional service. One must become blessed by the dust of the feet of a pure devotee. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, sixth chapter, verse 18, Narada also says to Yudhisthira, my dear king, it is Lord Krishna, known as Mukunda, who is the eternal protector. Of the Pandavas and Yadavas. He is also your spiritual master and instructor in every respect. He is the only worshipful God for you. He is very dear and affectionate, and he is the director of all your activities, both individual and familiar. And what more, he sometimes carries out your orders as if he were your messenger. My dear king, how very fortunate you are, because for others, all these favors given to you by the Supreme Lord were not even dreamt of. The purport to this verse is that the Lord easily offers liberation, but he rarely agrees to offer a soul devotional service, because by devotional service, the Lord himself becomes purchased by a devotee. So, anyway, so we explained yesterday, even though it's very rare, by getting the mercy of a pure devotee, such as His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, one can get pure devotional service. So let's go on. That a devotee decries the happiness of becoming one with the Supreme, which is called Sayuja Mukti. Actually, one cannot become one with the Supreme, but one may think that one is becoming one with the Supreme by entering into the Brahmajyoti with one soul. And when one enters into the Brahmajyoti with one soul, one loses his sense of individuality, anything. It's like going to sleep, like a deep, 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 deep dreamless sleep. And so one is thinking, I am merged into the Supreme Lord, but you haven't actually merged into the Supreme Lord. But what is that happiness? The happiness of merging into the Supreme, or thinking of yourself becoming one with the Supreme, is actually the happiness of the cessation of your material pains. Srila Rupa Goswami said, and it's not a positive happiness. Srila Rupa Goswami says that if Brahmananda, or the happiness of becoming one with the Supreme, is multiplied by 1 trillion fold, it still cannot compare to an atomic fraction of the happiness derived from the ocean of devotional service. In the Hari Bhakti Suraya, Prahlad Maharaj, while satisfying Lord Nrsingadev by his prayers, says, my dear Lord of the universe, I am feeling transcendental pleasure in your presence and have become merged in the ocean of happiness. I now consider the happiness of Brahmananda to be no more than the water and the impression left by a cow's hoof of the earth compared to this ocean of bliss. Similarly, it is confirmed in the Vavarta Deepika, Sridhar Swami's commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, "My dear Lord, some of the fortunate persons who were swimming in the ocean of your nectar of devotion and who were relishing the nectar of the narration of your pastimes certainly know ecstasies which immediately minimize the value of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Such transcendental devotees regard any kind of happiness other than devotional service as no better than a straw in the street." Now, I have practical experience of observing someone trying to absorb themselves in Brahman and seeing how miserable they are compared to the devotees. And what is that practical experience? It's not me. I never absorbed myself in Brahman. Never had a desire to absorb myself in Brahman. Is that we have one lady who comes to the temple almost every day, and she sits absorbed, not in Brahman, thinking she's absorbed in Brahman, and God knows what she's thinking. I feel really compassionate. She sits there, and she, for 4 or 5 or 6 hours a day, just sits there in the temple while the devotees are dancing around, giving class. Even when I give my Sunday program here, she's sitting there through the whole thing. I mean, it's unbelievable how she can sit there when Krishna consciousness is going on and not feel transcendental ecstasy and just sit there like a lump on a log. So I feel really compassionate upon her. So anyway, so we experience transcendental happiness. So next one is devotional service is the only means for attracting Krishna. Why is it the only means for attracting Krishna? Because Krishna doesn't need anything. He's up to kama. Whatever he wants, he gets just by his wanting it. And he's svarat. He's independent. He doesn't need anyone else to do anything. He's completely independent, self-sufficient, atma-rama. Atma means self. Rama means happiness, to take happiness or pleasure in the self. So, therefore, the only thing that attracts Krishna is love. Nothing else. Nothing you can do for Krishna will attract him. Srila Rupa Goswami has stated that devotional service attracts even Krishna. Krishna attracts everyone, but devotional service attracts Krishna. The symbol of devotional service in the highest degree is Radharani. Krishna is called Madan Mohan, which means that he is so attractive that he can defeat the attraction of thousands of cupids. But Radharani is still more attractive, for she can even attract Krishna. Therefore, devotees call her Madan Mohan Mohini, the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. And one of the transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani is that she always keeps Krishna under her control. To perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Radharani, and devotees in Vrindavan put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to achieve perfection in their devotional service. In other words, devotional service is not an activity of the material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. In Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the Mahatmas, or great souls, are under the protection of Daivi Prakriti, the internal energy, Radharani. So being directly under the control of the internal potency of Krishna, devotional service attracts even Krishna himself. What did I want to say about this? Yes, yeah, so bhakti comes from Radharani. This fact is corroborated by Krishna in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, verse 20, where he says, "My dear Uddhava, you should know it from me that the attraction I feel for devotional service rendered by my devotees is not to be attained even by the performance of mystic yoga, philosophical speculation, ritualistic sacrifices, the study of Vedanta, the practice of severe austerities, or the giving of everything in charity. These are, of course, very nice activities, but they are not as attractive to me as the transcendental loving service rendered by my devotees." So, of course, we are serving through the agency of our spiritual master, who is representing Lord Nityananda and Srimati Radharani, as well as the chain of the succession and his spiritual master too. And therefore, because of their purification, their purity, their love for Krishna, then we are actually performing pure devotional service, in spite of ourselves not being pure. Of course, you should become pure. That's not an excuse for your impurities. How Krishna becomes attracted by the devotional service of his devotees is described by Narada in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto's 10th chapter, verses 48 and 49. There, Narada addresses King Yudhisthira while the king is appreciating the glories of the character of Prahlad Maharaja. A devotee always appreciates the qualities of other devotees. That's a real devotee. Yudhisthira Maharaj, it's the opposite of envy. Yudhisthira Maharaj is appreciating the qualities of Prahlad, and that is one symptom of a pure devotee. A pure devotee never thinks of himself great. He is always thinking that other devotees are greater than himself. The king was thinking, Prahlad Maharaj is actually a devotee of the Lord. Well, I have nothing. And while thinking this, he was addressed by Narada as follows. My dear King Yudhisthira, you, the Pandava brothers, are the only fortunate people in this world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared on this planet and is presenting himself to you as an ordinary human being. He is always with you in all circumstances. He is living with you and covering himself from the eyes of others. Others cannot understand that he is the Supreme Lord, but he is still living with you as your cousin, as your friend, and even as your messenger. Therefore, you must know that nobody in this world is more fortunate. So Krishna, of course, was very friendly with Arjuna, and they would sometimes even lie in the same bed and wrestle and joke, and, you know, like friends who punch each other, you know, not heavy, on the shoulder. Hey, Krishna, hey, Arjuna, hey, Partha, how are you doing? And that's the most fortunate situation, to have an intimate relationship with Krishna. And of course, the residents in Vrindavan all have intimate relationships with Krishna of various degrees. In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna appeared in his universal form, Arjuna prayed, my dear Krishna, I thought of you as my cousin brother, and so I have shown disrespect to you in so many ways, calling you Krishna or friend. But you were so great that I could not understand. So that was the position of the Pandavas. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest among all greats, he remained with those royal brothers, being attracted by their devotion, by their friendship, and by their love. Oops, went a little too far. This is the proof of how great this process of devotional service is. It can attract even the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is great. But devotional service is greater than God because it attracts him. People who are not in devotional service can never understand what great value there is in rendering service to the Lord. We are so fortunate. So, next chapter. Moving ahead. The first stages of devotion. The three categories of devotional service in which Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are listed as devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, and devotional service in pure love of Godhead. There are many subheadings in each of these categories. Generally, it is understood in the category of devotional service in practice, there are two different qualities. Devotional service in ecstasy has four qualities, and devotional service in pure love of Godhead has six qualities. These qualities will be explained by Srila Rupa Goswami later on. In this connection, Srila Rupa Goswami suggests that the person eligible for Krishna consciousness and devotional service can be classified by his particular taste. It's called a ruchi. He says that devotional service is a continual process from one's previous life. No one can take to devotional service unless he has had some previous connection with it. And there is one exception to that. When you get the special mercy of a great pure devotee. So that's the exception. That anyone, even if they had no connection in their previous life, can take to devotional service if the pure devotee desires it. Because what we just read is that Krishna is controlled by his pure devotee. So if a pure devotee gives you blessings, then you can actually make great spiritual advancement. So how do you get the blessings of a pure devotee? Well, it's not that you just say, Guru Maharaj, pure devotee, Saduji, give me your blessings, or you touch their feet. I mean, that's good. But to get their blessings, it's Guru Mukhapadma Vakya. You have to hear with your ears. You get the blessings through your ears. Vamanti Ridkarna, Rasayanakata. And that sound vibration goes to the heart, and then you act on it. And that's how you please the devotee. It's not you say, I want your blessing, but I'm going to do any damn thing. That's not blessings. For example, suppose in this life I practice devotional service to some extent. Of course, this is similar to what we learned in the Gita, where Krishna says, Swapamapyasya dharma shatrayate mahatobayat. That a little bit of effort in this endeavor, that is devotional service, can save you from the most dangerous type of fear. Or, as Prabhupada explained, for in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. In other words, whatever advancement you make in this life, you get to take with you to the next life. You never lose it. Even though it is not 100% perfectly performed, whatever I've done, I will not be lost. In my next life, from the very point where I stop in this life, I shall begin again. In this way, there's always a continuity. But even if there is no continuity, if only by chance a person takes interest in a pure devotee's instruction, this is what I mentioned previously, he can be accepted and can advance in devotional service. That's the exception. Anyway, for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is easier for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes. So, what was I going to say about this? Yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory. Being a continuity from one life to another, remembering what you were doing in your past life. To support this statement, there are many authoritative assertions by the learned scholars of bygone ages. According to their general opinion, a person may become governed by certain convictions derived by his own arguments and decisions. Then another person, who may be a greater logician, will nullify these conclusions and establish another thesis. In this way, the path of argument will never be safe or conclusive. Srimad Bhagavatam recommends, therefore, that one follow in the footsteps of the authorities. And this is very similar to the verse from the Mahabharata, in which it says, Tarko Patishta, Shrutina Vibhina. And I'll translate that part of the verse. It says, by logic and reason and argumentation, you're not going to establish the truth, not even by studying the Vedic literatures, but only by Mahajanagena Gata Sapanta, which is the same thing mentioned here, only by following the footsteps of the great souls, the authorities. Mahajana means great soul. Here's a general description of devotional service given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Previously, it has been stated that devotional service can be divided into three categories, namely devotional service and practice, which is called sadhana bhakti, devotional service in ecstasy, which is called bhava bhakti, and devotional service in pure love of God, which is called prema bhakti. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami proposes to describe devotional service and practice. So, this is for most of us. Practice means employing our senses in some particular type of work. Therefore, devotional service and practice means utilizing our different sensory organs. What does that mean? That means the active senses and the perceptive senses. Perceptive senses means like the eyes or the nose, the sense of touch. Active means like the hands, the mouth, and the tongue, stuff like that. Some of the senses are meant for acquiring knowledge. Those are the perceptive senses. And some are meant for executing the conclusions of our thinking, truly, and willing. So practice means employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service. This practice is not for developing something artificial. For example, a child learns a practice is to walk. This walking is not unnatural. The walking capacity is there originally in the child. And simply by a little practice, he walks very nicely. Similarly, Devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the natural instinct, we just forgot it, of every living entity. Even uncivilized men like the aborigines offer their respectful obeisances to something wonderful exhibited by nature's law. And they appreciate that behind some wonderful exhibition or action, there is something supreme. So this consciousness, though lying dormant in those who are materially contaminated, is found in every living entity. And when purified, this is called Krishna consciousness. There are certain prescribed methods for employing our senses and mind in such a way that our dormant consciousness for loving Krishna will be invoked, as much as the child with a little practice can begin to walk. One who has no basic walking capacity cannot walk by practice. Similarly, Krishna consciousness cannot be aroused simply by practice. Actually, there is no such practice. When we wish to develop our innate capacity for devotional service, there are certain processes which, by our accepting and executing them, will cause that dormant capacity to be invoked. In other words, you can't practice and do something that is not dormant, or not, you don't have that dormant skill. Such practice is called sadhana bhakti. That means the bhakti that is practiced. Every living entity under the spell of material energy is held to be in an abnormal condition of madness. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, generally the conditioned soul is mad because he is always engaged in activities which are the cause of bondage and suffering. Nunam pramata kutute vikarna yadindriya priti apranoti nasarumanye. The spirit soul in his original condition is joyful, blissful, and full of knowledge. Only by his implication of material activities has he become miserable, temporary, and full of ignorance. That's us, miserable. Temporary, everything is temporary, and we are ignorant. This is due to vikarma. Remember we talked what vikarma was? Vikarma means bad karma, or actions which should not be done. Therefore, because, you know, many of us, not me, are attached to actions that should not be done, like intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. Those are called vikarmic activities. Vikarmic activities yield a bad reaction. If you eat meat, then guess what your next life will be? You'll be a cow or a pig. Because like here in North Carolina, people like to eat pickled pig's feet. That means they will become a pig and their feet will be taken and eaten by someone. Therefore, it's like Prabhupada said, that in this KFC, they used to be called Kentucky Fried Chicken, Colonel Sanders, who was the founder of KFC, will have to take a chicken birth and death for every chicken that's ever sold in his store, in any of his stores. Therefore, we must practice sadhana bhakti, which means to offer mangalarti, deity worship, in the morning, to refrain from certain material activities, to offer obeisance to the spiritual master, and to follow many other rules and regulations, which will be discussed here, one after another. These practices will help one become cured of madness. As a man's mental disease is cured by the directions of a psychiatrist, so the sadhana bhakti cures the conditioned soul because of his madness under the spell of maya or material illusion. Narada Muni mentions this sadhana bhakti practice, bhakti, in Srimad Bhagavatam 7th Canto, 1st chapter, verse 32. He says there to King Yudhisthira, "My dear king, one has to fix his mind on Krishna by any means. That is called Krishna consciousness. It is the duty of the Acharya, the spiritual master, to find the ways and means for his disciple to fix his mind on Krishna." That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. So, in other words, certain aspects of sadhana bhakti are adjustable. What do I mean by adjustable? Like Prabhupada adjusted the amount of rounds his disciple would chant from the 64 that were recommended by his spiritual master to 16. Prabhupada gave us a specific way to do mangalarti. Because nowhere or no time in the past was mangalarti done by the chanting of the Guru Vashtika mantras. It wasn't. Generally, it was things like Biba, Varichesha, Aloka Pravesha, Nijichari Uta Jiva, which is done in Vrindavan. And that wasn't recommended by Prabhupada. That was recommended by one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. I'm not going to get into that controversy. But Prabhupada specifically wanted us to chant the Guru Vashtaka, which is extremely unique. It just hasn't been done. Usually the prayers were to Krishna or some incarnation of Krishna, depending on what your sampradaya was. But Prabhupada did something extremely unique and established, not only that, he established daily Guru Puja in the temple. That wasn't done before. Generally, the Guru Puja of the spiritual master was done once a year on the Guru's appearance day, birthday, according to the Vedic calendar. It wasn't done on a daily basis. It just wasn't. In the Gaudiya Math, it wasn't done on a daily basis. Now, why did Prabhupada do that? That's his strategy. So these are adjustable things that can be done by the Acharya. And of course, our Acharya is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So the Prabhupada. So these are details. So it says the spiritual master finds the ways and means for his disciple to fix his mind on Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us an authorized program for this purpose centered around the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This chanting has so much power that it immediately attaches one to Krishna. Hare Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. Somehow or other, one has to fix his mind on Krishna. The great saint, Ambarish Maharaj, the responsible king, fixed his mind on Krishna, and similarly, anyone who tries to fix his mind in this way will very rapidly make progress in successfully reviving his original Krishna consciousness. Now, Prabhupada's going to delineate the different parts of sadhana bhakti. Now, the sadhana bhakti, or practice of devotional service, may also be divided into two parts. The first part is service according to regulative principles. One has to follow these different regulative principles on the order, by the order of the spiritual master, or on the strength of authoritative scriptures. And there can be no question of refusal. Yes, sir. That is called vaidhi, or regulated. One has to do it without argument. Ours is not to do or die. Ours is not to question why. Ours is but to do or die. I mean, these are not things that are going to kill you. Don't worry. So another part of sadhana bhakti, the higher part, is called raganuga. Raganuga refers to the point by which following the regulated principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. So in other words, even at the stage of raganuga, to follow, which basically means to follow one's attachment, okay? Even at that stage, one still follows the regulated practices that were recommended in the earlier stage, but one follows them spontaneously. For example, a person engaged in devotional service may be ordered to rise early in the morning and offer arti, which is a form of deity worship. In the beginning, by the order of his spiritual master, one rises early in the morning, offers arti, and then, but then he develops real attachment. In the beginning, it's just like, I got to get up. Just like they used to sing this song in the army. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I hate to get out of bed. Anyway, that was a song from the 1960s in the army. So anyway, so in the beginning, even if he hates to do it, he doesn't want my intelligence. I know it's the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. That's the early stage. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. And then later on, when he gets to the stage of Raganuga, when he gets this attachment, I'm going to continue reading, he automatically tries to decorate the deities and prepare different kinds of dresses and thinks of different plans to execute his devotional service nicely. Although it is within the category of practice, this offering of loving service is spontaneous. So the practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, can be divided into two parts. Regulative, namely regulative, and spontaneous. Now, there's another aspect of the spontaneous or raganuga bhakti which we should be aware of. In addition to doing everything externally, spontaneously, one who is on the platform of raganuga bhakti begins to appreciate or have some glimpse of who he is meant to serve in the spiritual world. Now, what do I mean by that? Because everybody's meant to serve Krishna. So what do I mean by who he is meant to serve? Well, when we talk about serving Krishna, there that means that in the spiritual world, there are different devotees who guide us in serving Radha and Krishna, depending on what our rasa is. If we are coward boys, then there's a coward boy who is a Nitya Parshada, eternal associate of Krishna, who guides us, like Subal, Sudam, Sridam, etc., like that. And if we happen to be a gopi, then there is someone like Rupa Mandri, or Lalita Pishaka, you know, or one of their associates, or sub-associates, or sub-sub-sub-associates, who guide us. So in the higher stages of Raghunuga Bhakti, one glimpses this and serves Radha and Krishna internally in practice, in their own hearts. Maybe not publicly, it's not that you would say, hey, Subal just told me to play baseball. No. Not like that. It's an internal meditation because you're beginning to identify and get a glimpse of who you are in the spiritual world. This is just the start of the real nectar. Rupa Goswami defines the first part of devotional practice or Vaidhi Bhakti as follows. When there is no attachment or no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, and one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master on pursuance of scriptures, such obligatory service is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Of course, one has love for the spiritual master, one has trust, one has faith in Krishna and the spiritual master. All these are prerequisites to it. So now when we're talking about Vaidhi Bhakti versus Raghunuga Bhakti, it's not like one day the switch is made. There are varieties of Vaidhi Bhakti as you move up, and there's varieties of Raghunuga Bhakti. But Anuga basically means to follow in the footsteps of some particular personality. Of course, in the beginning, we follow, or not in the beginning, middle and end, we follow in the footsteps of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is an eternal resident in Goloka Vrindavan. It's good enough for me. These principles of Vaidhi Bhakti are also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, first chapter, verse 5, where Shukadeva Goswami instructs the dying Maharaj Pariksit as to the course of his action. Maharaj Pariksit met Shukadeva Goswami just a week before his death, and the king was perplexed as to what he should be done before he was to pass on. Many other sages also arrived there, but no one could give him the proper direction. Shukadeva Goswami, however, gave him this direction as follows. My dear king, if you want to be fearless in meeting your death next week, but actually everyone's afraid of the point of death, then you must immediately begin the process of hearing and chanting, remembering God. I just remembered Prabhupada one time was talking to someone, and someone said, I am not afraid of death. Then Prabhupada said, why do you stop at the red light then? If one can chant and hear Hare Krishna and always remember Lord Krishna, then he is sure to be fearless of death, which may come at any moment. Wow. People just in denial. I mean, just like right now, oh my God, I'm in the GBC and we're talking about matters that can be put off till later, and I keep mentioning the hourglass, the sands in the hourglass are running out. Boys, you know, we're all old men now. In the statements of Shukadeva Goswami, it is said that the Supreme Personality of God is Krishna. Therefore, Shukadeva recommends that one should always hear about Krishna. He does not recommend that one hear and chant about the demigods. That would be really boring. Oh, my dear Indra, you're so wonderful. You make the rain come. And I love rain. Anyway, the Mayavadis and personalists say that one may chant any name, either that of Krishna or those of the demigods, and the result will be the same, but actually does not affect. You can try it. It doesn't work. Not attractive. You have chant in the morning for half an hour some bogus name like Hillsborough. According to the authorized version of Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to hear and chant about Lord Vishnu Krishna only. So Shukadeva Goswami has recommended to Pariksit Maharaj that in order to be fearless of death, one has to hear and chant and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead by all means. He also mentions that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sarvatma. Sarvatma means the supersoul of everyone. That's a conjunction of two words. Sarva, Atma. Sarva means all, Atma means the self. Krishna is also mentioned as Ishvara, the supreme controller who is situated in everyone's heart. Bhagavad Gita says that. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati. Therefore, if some way or other we become attached to Krishna, he will make us free from all danger. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that anyone who becomes a devotee of the Lord is never vanquished. Otherwise, others, however, are always vanquished. Vanquished means that after getting this human form of life, a person does not come out of the entanglement of birth and death and thus misses his golden opportunity and takes birth as an animal. Such a person does not know where he is being thrown by the laws of nature. That's scary. Not knowing what's going to happen when you die and then missing all your beloved friends and relatives and everything like that. Oh my God. And if one is Krishna conscious, then in the future, all your beloved friends and everything like that, one is Krishna conscious, you will live with them eternally. Suppose one does not develop Krishna consciousness in this human form of life, he will be thrown to the cycle of birth and death involving 8,400,000 species of life, and his spiritual identity will remain lost. One does not know whether he's going to be, this is what I mentioned before, a plant. Oh my God. At least I can be a rose that's offered to Krishna. Or a beast. Or a bird. I can be right around his parrot. Or something like that. Because there are so many species of life. The recommendation of Rupa Goswami for reviving our Krishna consciousness is that somehow or other we should apply our minds to Krishna very seriously and thus also become fearless of death. After death, we do not know our destination because we are completely under the control of the laws of nature. Only Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is controller over the laws of nature. Therefore, if we take shelter of Krishna seriously, there will be no fear of being thrown back into the cycle of so many species of life. A sincere devotee will surely be transferred to the abode of Krishna as confirmed or affirmed in Bhagavad Gita. In the Padma Purana, also the same process is advised. Therefore, it is said that one should always remember Lord Vishnu. This is called dhyana or meditation, always remembering Krishna. It is said that one has to meditate with his mind fixed upon Vishnu. It's Krishna. Padma Purana recommends that one always fix his mind on the form of Vishnu by meditation and not forget him at any moment. In this state of consciousness is called samadhi, trance. We should always try to mold the activities of our lives in such a way that we will constantly remember Vishnu or Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Whether one concentrates his mind on the four-handed form of Vishnu or on the form of two-handed Krishna, it is the same. The Padma Purana recommends somehow or other always think of Vishnu without forgetting him under any circumstances. Actually, this is the most basic of all regulative principles, for when there is an order from a superior about doing something, there is simultaneously prohibition. In other words, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. When the order is that one should always remember Krishna, prohibition is that one should never forget him. Within this simple order and prohibition, all regulative principles are found. This regulative principle is applicable to all varnas and ashrams, the castes and occupations of life. There are four varnas, and we talked about this extensively in the Gita classes, namely the brahmanas, priests and intellectuals, the kshatriyas, warriors and statesmen, the vaishyas, businessmen and farmers, and the shudras, laborers and servants. There are also four standard ashramas, namely brahmacharya, student life, grahastha, householder, vanaprastha, retired, and sannyas, renounced. The regulative principles are not only for the brahmacharis, celibate students, to follow, but are applicable for all. It doesn't matter whether one is a beginner, a brahmachari, or is very advanced, a sannyasi. The principle of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly and not forgetting him at any moment is meant to be followed by everyone without fail. If this injunction is followed, then all the other rules and regulations will automatically fall in line. All other rules and regulations should be treated as assistants or servants to this one basic principle. The injunctions of rules and regulations, the resultant reactions, are mentioned in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Chamasamuni, one of the great nine sages who came to instruct King Nimi, addressed the king and said, "The four social orders, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, have come out of different parts of the universal form of the Supreme Lord as follows. The Brahmanas have come out from the head, the Kshatriyas come out from the arms, the Vaishyas have come out from the waist, and the Shudras have come out from the legs. Similarly, the Sannyasis have come out from the head, the Vanaprasthas from the arms, the Grahasthas from the waist, and the Brahmacharis from the legs. These different orders of society and grades of spiritual advancement are conceived in terms of qualification, not in terms of birth. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that the four social orders and four spiritual orders are created by the Lord himself in terms of different individual qualities. As the different parts of the body have different types of activities, so the social orders and spiritual orders also have different types of activities in terms of qualification and position. The target of these activities, however, is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, he is the Supreme Enjoyer. So whether one is a Brahmin or a Shudra, one has to satisfy the Supreme Lord by one's activities. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by a verse which reads, everyone must be engaged by his particular duty. But the perfection of such work should be tested by how far the Lord is satisfied with such activities. The injunction herein is that one has to act, according to his position, and by such activities one must either satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead or else fall down from one's position. Let's see, I think we're going to have to, all right, one more paragraph. For example, a Brahmana who is born out of the head of the Lord has his business to preach the transcendental Vedic sounds or Shabda Brahmana. Because the Brahmana is the head, he has to preach the transcendental sound, and he also has to eat on behalf of the Supreme Lord. According to the Vedic injunction, when a Brahman eats, it is to be understood that the personality of Godhead is eating through him. It is not, however, that the Brahman should simply eat on behalf of the Lord and not preach the message of Bhagavad Gita to the world. Actually, one who preaches the message of Gita is very dear to Krishna, as confirmed in the Gita itself. Such a preacher is factually a Brahmana, and thus, by feeding him, one feeds the Supreme Lord directly. And I think we are going to end here. And so we can take some questions. Hold on one second. Let's open it up for questions. All right. Who has a question? Question. No one. People getting more shy as the time goes on here. All right. No questions. All right. Maybe I'll speak a little bit of my own life.
I can ask a question if you'd like.
All right, ask a question, Mr. Cohen.
So you were talking about taking direction from a resident of Vrindavan.
Yeah.
How do we know? Do we even give any kind of indication as to who we may be following before we're already freed from the modes of nature?
Yes, you get an indication, because when you're at the stage of Raganuga, you're not free from anarthas at that particular stage. However, but you are spontaneous. I mean, you're getting up for MA. Do you know what MA means?
Yes.
Okay, I won't translate for that for everybody else. You're getting up for MA, you're also getting up for GP and SB. And anyway, for those who don't know, I was just using some acronyms, because we're very much accustomed to acronyms in ISKCON. MA means Mangalarati, GP means Guru Puja, and SB means Srimad Bhagavatam. So in other words, it's so spontaneous that, and you're steady, you're getting up every morning like that. I mean, not that I'm bragging about myself, but I'm there every morning except when I have a GBC meeting. Unfortunately, my life is so interesting. I have GBC meetings at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. And that's because of the time difference. It's not that GBC members are actually attempting to violate the sadhana bhakti rules. But we have people who are in Australia, people in New Zealand, people in India, so we have to pick a time that's actually good for everyone. So my life is filled with Zoom conferences now. Actually, I have more meetings now than I had before the COVID. Because at least with the COVID, I had to go somewhere for a meeting. And I could sleep during the meeting. But now, because of COVID, everybody and their brother wants to have a meeting, you know, the GBC or North American GBC or strategic planning, wants to have a meeting almost every day. So I had to get these special glasses, which block out the blue light. Because otherwise, after a while, I'd get a suntan on my eyes from the screen. I mean, I'm actually meeting more than people who have jobs now. So this is all the blessings of the COVID virus that enables us to meet more often, more hours a day. So anyway, getting back to the point. So when one is spontaneously doing sadhana, that's one indication of the Raghunuga stage. And then one gets a glimpse. And when one gets a glimpse, one confirms it with a higher authority. Like someone would come, let's say if I was a spiritual master of someone, he would come to me and say, I had this vision that I was X-Man in the spiritual world. Spiritual world, that's it. And then I would reply, no. You're a spider in the spiritual world, not Spider-Man. You got it wrong. Because there are nice spiders in the spiritual world. I mean, even in Lord Ram's pastime, you have the spider who was helping Ram build the bridge to Lanka. So there's nothing wrong with spiders. They're nice. So, yes, if someone comes up and says something, then they can confirm it with me. I said, oh, yes, you have it. You have a natural affinity to build webs. And therefore, you might. Anyway, I'm just joking right now. But joking and making a point at the same time that the spiritual master will examine the disciple's natural propensities when the disciple is at the proper stage. And if the disciple is not in the proper stage, then the spiritual master will say, go back to the drawing board, Prabhu. You know, first learn to wake up in the morning. then we'll talk about rasa after that. It's like Prabhupada talked about, like, sometimes there's a little girl and she's asking her parents, when am I going to have a baby? And the parents say, you got a few years more. You got to grow up, kid, before you can have a baby. So, or when I was young, I was thinking, when can I have a car? So my parents would buy me little toy cars. And I remember driving this little toy car all around my house. And then eventually my parents took me to one of these amusement parks and went in one of the bumper cars where we could get in accidents and it's fun. So anyway, so that's like Vaidhi Bhakti. But in Raghunuga Bhakti, you get your learner's permit. And in Bhava Bhakti, you get your actual driving license. And in Prema Bhakti, I'm trying to think of something. In Prema Bhakti, you get your pilot's license. How about that one? So right now, we don't even have our learner's permit. We're still studying the manual to get our learner's permit. You understand? Everyone understands that example? I think so, because most of us have driver's licenses. But before you get a learner's permit, you can drive with someone else. You actually have to learn the philosophy. You know, red means stop. Except in India, red means go. Yellow means go faster. And green means don't look at all, just pedal to the metal. In India, there's no need of learner's permits. You just bribe the official and you get your driver's license. But you can't bribe Krishna. People try to do that. They try to bribe the spiritual master. Guru Maharaj, how much would it cost to become a pure devotee? Well, you give everything. Manasa deha geha yokya shimora apilam tu yopadi nanda kishor. Your mind, your body, your mind, your words, everything. That's the price. So anyway, so there's another question from Vijay Radhika. Pranam Gurudev. Are Shudras, by following their duties, getting liberated as well? Of course, that's what Krishna says in the Gita. They are actually liberated if they're following their duties or doing it for Krishna, giving the results of Krishna, and doing it with love. Actually, those are the standards that we listed in the beginning of this discussion on the Nectar of Devotion, that if one's doing actively what Krishna wants, and doing it out of love, then yes, you go back to Godhead. I mean, Krishna himself wasn't a Brahmin. Krishna himself was a Vaishya. He wasn't. Krishna's a Vaishya family. And Krishna's closest associates are all Vaishyas, not Brahmins, at least in Krishna Leela. Actually, in Gaura Leela, Krishna had associates in all the different varnas, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually, Krishna had some Brahmin associates. There's Madhu Mango was a Brahmin. But he was a greedy Brahmin because he just kept wanting to eat too much. So I don't know if he was actually qualified as a Brahmin. Anyway, because he always wanted laddus. So, all right. So... And he was actually, he was so greedy, he would only do sacrifices if he got paid in laddus. There's a story in the Acharya's writings, that Madhu Mango, he would do the Surya Puja and demand payment in laddus. So a real Brahmin would not demand payment, he would just do it because that's his duty. Anyway, whoever you are, okay, here's another one. I also had a question about Bhakti Lata Bija. Will the quality of the seed received vary as well? Will someone get a better seed from Krishna? No, Bhakti Lata Bija is the Bhakti Lata Bija. But you have to get a, it's not that I got a better Bhakti Lata Bija than you got. But you, my Bhakti Lata Bija is better than your Bhakti Lata Bija. But you have to get the Bhakti Lata Bija from a pure devotee. And, or from a representative of a pure devotee. You get your Bhakti. I mean, I think I got my Bhakti Lata Bija from hearing Prabhupada chanting on the radio. This was years before I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I was listening to the radio and I heard the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It was like the happening album, the first album Prabhupada put out. And I just, my whole life changed. Just from hearing from the pure devotee. So even from hearing from a recording, you can get your Bhakti Lata Bija. You're just anyhow coming in touch with a pure devotee, eating the prasadam remnants of a pure devotee, eating the... drinking the foot bathing water of a pure devotee, or the foot dust, eating the foot dust of a pure devotee, you get your Bhakti Lata Bija. It's not that difficult. Just listen to Prabhupada. and you get your bhakti lata bija. It's like every day I'm getting more bhakti lata bijas. I figure I might as well get as many seeds as possible just to be sure. So every day I put the use this thing. Hello. Prabhupada said, you can understand that you're miserable. Anyways. So, I don't want to take any chances, so I get my bhakti lata bija several times a day from Prabhupada. In case I messed up with my first bhakti lata bija. No, really. So we should keep hearing. So, there's not a better quality seed. Let me go shopping. Let me go guru shopping. Who has the best? Who sells the best bhakti lata bija? The reason I'm not Krishna conscious is I got the bhakti lata bija from the wrong person. I've heard that argument sometimes. Actually, it's an important point. Joking aside, that sometimes you'll find people who want to dissuade you from being members of the Krishna conscious movement. And they say to you that the reason you're not experiencing Krishna prem, I mean, especially if you go to Radha Kund, you'll hear this many times. The reason that you're not experiencing ecstasy, Krishna prem, hair standing on end. Of course, I have no hair to stand on end. But anyway, that symptom of ecstasy is not for me in this lifetime. So the reason you're not experiencing any of these things is you just don't have, you haven't gotten the right, you haven't approached the right sadhu, which is the same thing. And they say, guess what? They say, guess what? I can give you not only your bhakti lata bija, I can give you your siddha deha. I can tell you who you are in the spiritual world. And that's attractive. I mean, if I were to say to any of you, meet me after this class, we'll have a private Zoom session, and I can tell you who you are in the spiritual world. I'd probably be up all night long talking to individuals. The person who raised his hand said, me. I said, you're just a frustrated yogi in the spiritual world. Anyway, so... So I already gave him his spiritual identity. It's a bogey yogi. So I mean, it's a very attractive thing if we can get some real shortcut, you know, because here I am, you know, I've been drugging 50 years in the Hare Krishna movement, and how many GBC meetings have I gone to, you know? 50 years, and what do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. You know, anyway, Yamaraj, don't call me because I can't come. Anyway, there's a song like that. So the point is, you know, if you're offered something cheap, I mean, so many people will want it. Like Prabhupada said, that many people will buy something cheap, but a valuable diamond, very few people have the price to pay. Very, very few people have the price to pay a valuable diamond. So Krishna consciousness is like that. So it's not a cheap thing. But there are people who will cheat you. And there's so many devotees in Radha Kund who have been cheated, who think that they are someone in the spiritual world. And actually there's stories about how devotees went to a particular Babaji and they were told, you are so-and-so in the spiritual world, but don't tell anyone. But when that person who was so-and-so in the spiritual world, sudden so-and-so gopi, he talked to his friend, he found out his friend was the same gopi, and when his friend talked to his friend, found out he was the same gopi. And so you had so many people who were Bunji Vihari gopi. I don't even know if that's a spiritual name. Bunji Vihari. That means someone who enjoys bungee jumping in the forest. Bungee Bihari, sir. So you had like maybe 50 devotees who had the same gopi name and they had the same service, And so then they discovered that it was a big ruse. It was a big cheating thing. Because as one great Acharya in America said, a sucker is born every minute. His name, this Acharya's name was J.P. Barnum. Maybe you've heard of him. He was the one who, the founder Acharya of the Barnum and Bailey Circus. He said, a sucker means someone who can be cheated. So because we want something cheap, we can be cheated. I remember in the old days, sometimes I would go to New York and I'd go to this section in New York where they sell very cheap electronic stuff. So I saw this like fantastic tape recorder, you know, that was sold for 1/10 the price of what it was normally sold for. So I went in the store and said, can I buy it? I said, yeah. So we buy it. I walk out and I see refurbished. And it breaks down right away. Or in New York, you can buy a Rolex watch for $10. Isn't that amazing? Not now with the coronavirus. Now those people are out of business. But you know what a Rolex watch? You know, one of those Rolex watches that sell for $2,000, $3,000. You could buy it for $10 in New York. And it looks exactly like a Rolex watch. It does. The only thing is it doesn't tell time. Yeah, you're going to impress your friends by showing them your Rolex watch. So people want to have that sort of bogus realization and devotional service. And they get cheated in India, Radha Kund especially. They're just waiting for some foolish devotees to come and take their money. And just, you know, especially, you know, many times it's the women and then they have a relationship where they take money. It's horrendous. It's horrendous. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. So we should work. I mean, actually, it's an important realization. The other day, I was walking out of the temple room, and one of my God persons, God brother, God sister, I'm not going to say who it was, they said, you should just retire and get into bhajan. You know what I'm saying? Do you really want to get me out of the way? Yeah. And I said, yeah, I said, you should just retire. It's time to retire. You're too stressed out. It's time to retire. You know, why are you going to the GVC meetings and doing all these things? Let the younger people take over. Because the person who was saying this to me wasn't any younger than me. So let the young folks take over. And I thought about it for a second, and I thought that actually, as an older devotee, I have a responsibility to society. I can't just like, all these years I've been serving Prabhupada and have all these, you know, realizations and about the mission of Prabhupada and just like say goodbye. And Prabhupada didn't do that either. You know, we have to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And so that, so even though I'm 71 years old, I'm happy to serve the mission of Prabhupada. And if that means that I don't go back to Godhead, that I have to take next birth to serve the mission of Prabhupada, I'm happy. I'm happy to do that. Why should I be unhappy? I mean, I'm not aspiring to dance like a gopi. I can't dance anyway, so what is the use of it? I mean, I can't even play tennis properly, what to speak of. Like Gopal, I can't even play. Gopal plays tennis, I can't, whether speak of dance. So, yes, I'm happy serving Prabhupada now, and if Prabhupada wants me to come back to the material world to serve him again, that's fine. I'm not worried about leaving the body. When it happens, then I'll come back and do the same thing. Okay, on that happy note, we have to end now. Don't worry about your bhakti lata bhij. You got a good quality bhakti lata bhij. You don't need to trade it in for a new one. Okay, we have to end. It's already late, and I have a GBC meeting coming up early in the morning, tomorrow morning. And that's, I'm happy. I'm I am very blessed to be able to serve Prabhupada in that way. I am blessed. Prabhupada, I got Prabhupada's blessings. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari 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 Bo. Alrighty. Okay, that's it. For those of you on Facebook also. And I'll be posting the other version of it in the next hour or two.